Welcome, everyone, to Beyond the Sermon. This is a wonderful episode today as we take God's Word and we have practical conversations about applying God's Word to our lives. My name is Greg. I'm here kind of helping co-host this episode, joined by Pastor Robbie. And we have some wonderfully loved special guests today as we talk about our ever so simple topic of marriage. Chris and Michelle, you want to introduce yourselves? Many of our church folk know who you guys are. You're involved in so many different ministries, but maybe introduce yourselves. And we'd love to know how long you've been married and maybe how long you've been at Hope.
Sounds great. We'd love to introduce ourselves. Excited to be here. My name's Chris. I serve on staff here at church. Been an elder at the church for about 10, 11 years. And as a family, we've been here for about 17 years. Yeah.
Yep.
Want to introduce yourself, babe?
Yes, I'm Michelle. And it's been a privilege to be here for 17 years. We've been married for 25 years.
Nice.
Coming
Let's
up
go.
This summer.
25, yes. Go. That's a wonderful, wonderful
big
achievement.
Big deal, yeah. Big deal.
So, I mean, it's obvious then, 25 years. You guys are here because you're the experts, right?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why we had you on today.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite.
No, exactly not quite. let's get that off, get that out up front. Well, we're delighted to be here.
Yeah.
And we want to be as helpful as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And we think part of being helpful is to celebrate what God has done in our lives, the grace of God that flows in our marriage, and give glory to Him for that.
Mm-hmm.
We also think it's helpful by being transparent, vulnerable, and say the areas that we're still working through and how God is at continues to be at work so that we make it beyond 24 and a half years, which is where we're at right now.
That's
so
right.
We would love for people to learn from our mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And I think Robbie and I would agree too. We're all here. I mean, we're all going to have our heart work as we get to do this conversation today.
That's right.
None of our marriages are perfect. We get to look to Christ for a perfect example in that. But thanks for your willingness to be here today and just kind of share your life too. And you know, Robbie, want to love to hear your story as well as we kind of talk about this topic. So we're in this series where we're talking about the Lord building the house, both in our own lives, but also as a family. And there's a number of different topics that we're looking at within this series. We've looked at a foundation of what this looks like. We looked at singleness. We want to talk about marriage now because we took 2 weeks as a church to look at marriage. And we kind of broke down passage in Ephesians chapter 5, predominantly looking at the teaching there of gender roles, but also what marriage is and how it brings honor and glory to God through that beautiful covenant. And so we're going to unpack that today through a number of different practical conversations. Robbie, I'd love to have you even give your thoughts about things that didn't make the sermon. I know there's so much to say on marriage. And so if you want to just, you know, be able to give your thoughts and commentary around things that you thought about that would be so helpful for our church to hear. But then as we kind of mesh that together with the diocese and your marriage and some ideas, I think it's going to be a wonderful conversation as we talk through marriage together. So let's start with this. Biggest lessons that you've learned in marriage. You guys are almost at 25. Robbie, you and Jill are 25, I think, this year as well, right?
That's right, yeah.
So we've got 50 years of marriage.
Wow. I feel old all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling old till right now.
Nice. Elaine and I, we're not that far yet. I think we have 16 this year. But
awesome.
What are some of these biggest lessons that you guys have learned in your marriage? Maybe things that you weren't expecting at the beginning, and then now that you're at the point where you are, by God's grace, someone says to you, what are some of those big life lessons that you learned in marriage? What would you guys say?
Well, how much time do you have, really?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot to share, isn't there? I think if we can kick it off, I would say this. Michelle does not need a better husband.
Hmm.
What Michelle needs is a more godly husband.
Oh.
And if I'm growing in grace and submission to the Lord and love for Him and passion for Him and prayer and repentance, then I will become a more godly man and I will become a better husband. So if there's one lesson that kind of undergirds everything that the rest follows from in my life and in our lives, it stems from that. Is that fair to kick it off that way?
Yeah, praise the Lord for that. And I would say a similar answer, but said differently. And I think from my perspective, it was hard for me to learn that I needed to find my contentment fully in the Lord. And especially in the first 10 years, and I realized that convictionally I knew that, but to live that out, that I had unfair expectations. And for me, it would be especially in the area of seeking Chris's validation.
Okay.
And so I had to work through the security of my identity in Christ. Chris could have said all the right things, done all the right things, and it would never have been enough because I need to find my contentment truly in the Lord. So that was a process. We didn't have a rocky marriage, but I would say that in those first 10 years, it was, I could point to many times when the Lord had to speak to me through his word and point that out.
Yeah. I love that's one of your lessons in the episode with singleness. We talked about the contentment thing and how the contentment in itself in Christ is the blessing that we get.
That's right.
And that transcends whether you're married or you're single. And that's a beautiful truth to realize that in life, regardless of marriage, but then also in your marriage, that's God's grace too. So thanks for sharing. Robbie, lessons?
Biggest lesson for me in my first year of marriage was I'm an idiot. So that was pretty clear.
That was a good lesson.
And then, it really was, and it's amazing how for Jill and I, our first year was one of our most difficult, just immature, some baggage bringing in, whatever. And a lot of powerful lessons learned in that year, which still proved to be kind of so grateful for this day as well. I would say overall, I 100% agree what Chris and Michelle said. By the way, so thankful for you guys and just the way that God has used you in this place and your family and marriage. And this is one, I'm glad you're here doing this. I really, really, really mean that too, whatever. Marriage as a whole, lessons, things are most profound. It's kind of what we learned in premarital, but it doesn't diminish its truth, right? It's the triangle. It's a triangle, right? Christ is at the top, and the closer we get to Jesus Christ, the closer we will draw together. Mm-hmm. So again, we're trying to fight against, in these episodes, against cliches because they're not, they're true, they're theologically powerful and awesome. The closer I draw to Jesus Christ, yes, the better husband I will automatically become. And same with my wife, Jill. When she gets closer to Jesus Christ, that's awesome. If I put it in real simple forms, one of the biggest lessons I've learned in marriage, humility wins, pride loses. Pride is dumb, okay? So like how many times that comes up in my life, and that's year one and all the way now as well. If you simply believe in the principles of the things that God promises to bless, he gives grace to the humble, he opposes the proud. Yeah. So if I can, on a daily basis, pursue humility to serve Jill as opposed to myself, every time I do that, I win. Every time I choose to serve myself, I lose. I think I'm going to win, I don't. And that's been lived out again and again and again. So again, basic, but beautiful. Yeah. And if we live that out, I'm trying to do that until I die, right? And so, because the Lord always works within that and he promises to bless that.
Yeah.
You know, that's so good. I think God's ways are true. And because they're true, they're good. And because they are good, they work.
Amen.
They actually work.
Yes.
And we don't want to lose sight of that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The simplicity,
and don't get tired of it, right?
Yeah. The simplicity, we can keep rehearsing that to the day we die.
Amen. Pride is dumb.
Love it. Yeah.
Sometimes we get that right away, and sometimes it just takes us a little bit longer to realize that. That's right. And that's why the Lord brings a spouse into your life to help refine you, right?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. When we look within Scripture at the idea of a man and a woman coming together and celebrating marriage as a lifelong covenant, I think one of the things that we want to unpack, and this is how we looked at it in our sermons as well, Robbie, we broke down certain verses within Ephesians 5 about the wife's role and then the husband's role. And so in week one, we talked about as our wives love the Lord, they see the beauty in submitting to their husbands. And then in week two, we look at the second part, it's a two-part commitment, right? Yep. We looked at the husband's role to love. And the comparison there is love your wife as Christ loved the church. And so let's talk a little bit about gender roles within marriage. Here's the first question that I have for you. Why is this always a contentious topic? I mean, even as we plan the series, like, okay, here's how the passages are going to work out. We're talking about wives in submission, husbands, love and honor, respect. Why is this always a struggle for us? Is it a cultural thing? Is it because we just don't look at it within Scripture? Maybe, Robbie, do you want to start? Some of your thoughts around those two sermons.
I'll go brief, and Chris, Michelle, you guys jump on this too, but brief, but to the point, Genesis 3 is the reason this is attention, right? Yeah. God promises in Genesis 3:16, as we addressed again, certainly in the message to the wives, that because of the fall, the greatest temptation for the wife will be to seek to usurp the authority of her husband, and the greatest temptation of the husband will will seek to dominate or control sinfully his wife. Yeah. And so right there, you have this, you know, within each of us as men and women, we desire to move away from what God has because of our sinful flesh. Yeah. So that's why submission is so hard. And that's why, again, so many men are tempted to control or dominate sinfully and really hurt and devastate their wives. So it is a result of sin entering the world. Mm-hmm. And so culturally, again, we are moving further and further away from the things of God. So you automatically have introduced now this concept. Like when I was preaching on wives and submission, like I'm going into it, I'm just like, you couldn't be more countercultural to say these things out loud right now. There's people, they're bristling in their seats and the women that are so defensive and right away, immediately, and I'm anticipating that. And I have to admit, part of me is like, oh man, there's so many easier things to preach about. And the other side, we need this so much. Yeah. I will not apologize for what God said, right? Yeah. And so that's the theological foundation for why there's tension, but I'll let you guys fill in from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's so much we can take from that. We can just share from our perspective. When we were first attending here, so 17 years ago, some of what we were hearing, which we would now understand as complementarian theology, was different from what we understood.
Okay.
And it was different from what we understood the scriptures to teach. And so we had to wrestle with that individually. We had to wrestle with that and just figure out as a couple what this meant for us. I think within the context of our home, we had a good understanding and a good kind of mutual understanding of what that looked like.
Okay.
And so there wasn't tension in the home on that specifically, but we didn't have a really good biblical understanding. Mm. And so that was a process of going through. So we heard the strong teaching. We're like, yeah, we got to wrestle with that. And we did. And we came to a beautiful resolution on that, just submitting to the truth of God's word. But it took a bit of time for that to happen. By that, I mean several months. Yeah. And maybe, Michelle, you want to talk a bit about that?
Absolutely. As the female who was bristling and...
what was going on in your mind in that?
Totally. Yeah. I think I can do how you described that would have been me in many ways. Again, not because our roles were... because we were in conflict trying to figure it out in the home. But I think there was a tension in my heart that needed to be resolved. And it was through the gospel and seeing the beauty of the gospel applied. And that I think that it was a work of the Lord over time. But coming to the place where I can say I get to be about the thriving of my husband, that I... there's real purpose and value in that. It is a privilege. It's not a being held under. It's humility. We've already talked about humility. It's that idea not of thinking less of myself, but thinking of myself less. So being self-forgetful. Yeah. And so I think I came to a place where I saw real beauty in God's design of we're both equal, but have different roles. We've been made differently, different strengths, different weaknesses. And that when we really lean into those and we serve each other well, we complement each other well. And so I started to, I think that was the fun thing was seeing the beauty in it, seeing the vision in it, the purpose in it, and then being able to want to do that well. So it was a process, but I'm there.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All in. That's helpful to think of it that way, because for some people, I think whether it's new teaching or you just haven't really spent time in that, or maybe it's just the humility to say, my marriage right now is contradictory to what God's word says. Mm-hmm. How do I fix it? Where do I start? And so you need time. Some people, I think they're willing just to commit to that change right up front. And some people it's like, yeah, the Lord has to do a work in me, or I need time to process this. I need to work through this. Chris, I love how you said earlier that essentially it's about just really believing that God's way works. It's the best way. And I think, Robbie, that's so clear in the preaching and teaching on this topic, that this is the life and marriage that God blesses when you choose to submit to God's word and believe that God knows best. He's providential. He's all-knowing. And then there's power in a marriage that says, I'm choosing to live out this relationship God's way. I think that's the beautiful testimony, right? So I love how you guys even just shared, like, yeah, we come and we had to work through that. We hear the teaching, but what does that look like for us? I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, and I'll add to that too. Like, I mean, if you ask someone if they bristle and if they disagree, well, then why do you believe what you believe? And can you explain that to me from the Bible? I think that's a very important. That's what Chris and Michelle were saying. They were coming in, they had some thought processes, but then you really interact with God's word teaches. I think it's crystal clear. And so at that point, helping people say, can you explain to me? And often they can't. Like, why do you believe this? Well, I, and like, well, that's not going to hold up in a biblical court in my mind. So, so let's go to the scriptures and let's see what God clearly says. And then at that point, here's the key. Are we willing to submit to the fact that God is smarter than we are? Are we willing to agree that God knows best and we don't? And then if so, we're like, okay, then maybe I want to do what God says. So therefore I can actually pursue blessing. The culture is moving in the opposite direction. We must move in the direction of the Lord.
That's so good. And because I was that guy. I was that guy that didn't have a really strong biblical understanding of this topic. And so we, it took us some time, as we said, to get through it. But then as we saw the beauty of it and saw it lived out, we experienced the blessing of God in ways we had not yet known. And then we saw how it manifests itself in other ways, like roles in the church, which I know is not the central topic right now, but this is how we all step into the conditions under which we all thrive by God's design. And we'd have it no other way right now, so biblically and deeply convicted and convinced that this is what God promises to bless. He is blessing, and we have now many years, maybe 15, 16 years of having experienced that in our lives, and so grateful for it.
Do you guys remember early on in the process of that, just understanding gender roles in terms of what scripture says, but was there any conversations that you guys had that you can recall back to of saying, okay, so we need to work through this in our marriage right now, according to what God's word says, we should talk about this. It could be like a practical example of something you were going through. Maybe, I don't know, maybe how you guys made decisions in life, or just what leading, submitting looked like, loving. Can you remember any of those conversations?
I can think of one conversation that sort of speaks to it maybe in the opposite way. I remember we were making decisions about education for our children. And Chris saying to me, he said, you know what, I really need to lean into you, lean on your expertise in this area. I'm a former educator. And so he, and so him expressing to me that he was going to, he saw value in what I brought to the table and that he wanted to learn from me. I felt that that was honoring in the sense that, yes, we have roles, but you...
I wasn't always right. I may have a certain role, but leaning on... And that's why I love the concept, the Ephesians 5 concept of the one flesh, right? This is how we get to, you know, that's biblical language of one flesh. Other way to express it, we're a team. We get to leverage each other's strengths. I'm not the best at everything. That's not what makes me the head of the home. And Michelle is supremely gifted, super strong, loving, and has so much to add. I would be... It would be so myopic and foolish of me to think that my answer is better by virtue of being, you know, having a certain role in the home. So recognizing that, honoring Michelle for that, and that's how we made some decisions. So that would be one example. Another one that comes to my mind is when career choices. So for the first 25 years before I worked in here on staff, I worked in a corporate environment. And so when I had opportunities to grow my career, those were choices we made together. And it wasn't Chris is getting this opportunity, therefore he should take it. This would be a, Michelle, how do we think about this? This will have a certain impact. I might have a role outside the home and so on, but Michelle would have the corresponding impact in the home. You start a new role, extra time at work, all those kinds of things. And so we made those choices, those decisions together.
That was very much one flesh thinking in the sense that how can our different gifting, how can we leverage them well for the goals that we have as a family, which is about God's kingdom, as opposed to I could have been thinking, how can I make a name for myself and sort of competing for airtime, each trying to advance themselves. And I think that there was such freedom because it, as Chris was in some ways freed up to, a priority was still the home, but in order to care for the home, to invest in his career, I got freed up to really be about the thriving of the family and to really throw myself at it and not be torn trying to also build my career at the same time. Not that it's wrong to build a career, but it's the priority of it and really leveraging each of our just how God made us.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I love about complementarianism in its theology is the very word that it's derived from, that you are describing, you complement mm-hmm. one another by the design of God. That is awesome and yeah. beautiful. I love it. You bring stuff to the table, Chris, Michelle, you bring stuff to the table that neither of you can bring again on your own. Mm-hmm. And that's what God has designed. If we can see it that way, it's not one's better than the other. Again, our position by scripture, 100% equal. Men and women,
yep.
100% equal. It has nothing to do with being inferior to one another. But we also recognize we're not the same. Not mm-hmm. the same physically. And we have different roles to play for the glory mm-hmm. of God. So we bring together. And I just say amen. Like just mm-hmm. the things that my wife Jill brings to the table for me in our home, mm-hmm. she can do things I can't do. I'm not good at. I'm mm-hmm. hopeless and clueless. I so value like how God has designed us to be together in this. And then hopefully I bring something to the table too. And
do.
Good. And able to contribute. And then you make each other better, one mm-hmm. flesh. That is God's design. I'll say it again. It's God's design. And we love it. We want to submit to that and just be blessed with what he has purposed with a husband and a wife, a man and mm-hmm. woman coming together in marriage. It really is genius. It really is.
Yeah. I think what's helpful too is clarifying here's what submission or love or leadership, whatever the word we're using in that context, here's what it's not. And that was helpful, I think, too, when you, in week one, we're talking about, here's what it's not.
That's right.
And it's not, you know, Chris and Michelle, like you're saying, it's not you getting, either of you, it's not you getting your way all the time.
Nope.
You knowing what's best, and therefore you submit to my knowledge or my past experience and education. Like, it's not about that. It's about, you know, you complete me. We go together. Yeah, that's God's gift to each other. Yeah. And that's the beauty in marriage in that moment. So I love that practical example. Just have you're working through and thinking like, hey, we go through life together. One person doesn't make all the decisions because they know best. Because then we realize pretty quickly, like you said, humility quickly catches up to you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like you need it. You need it.
You know, one of the things that would play out in our home, I may be accountable to the Lord to give, you know, on that day, what happened in your home, Chris? Mm-hmm. I believe the Lord's going to ask me that question. He's also going to ask Michelle that question in a different way. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Michelle has ideas, has dreams, has initiatives. And mm-hmm. to hear those and to see those fill in what our home looks like mm-hmm. doesn't contravene the authority that I'm supposed to have in the home.
Yeah, amen.
It mm-hmm. builds on that.
Yeah.
It to your word earlier, complements that.
Yeah.
And so giving space for those conversations is so important. Yeah. So Michelle has the liberty and the invitation, and this is how we function together, to say, Chris, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. And that's a brilliant idea. We should do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And so it's not just that she has permission to, but it's the invitation. This is what we want mm-hmm. for the thriving of the home.
Yeah. Let's talk about practical steps for maybe someone in a marriage right now listening or part of their series even, just thinking, okay, so the way that our marriage right now reflects whatever realities they are compared to what scripture says, they're not lining up. Maybe it's a new concept for them. Where do they start? And I think you guys have mentioned too, just some practical steps. Where do they start thinking? Where do they go to? What is there passages of scripture that were really helpful for you to maybe answer the question, how do I even begin to shape my marriage or begin modeling this theology to the glory of God?
Ephesians 5 and 6. Yes.
Here's where I hear. Yeah. Why don't I start? And if you think of another part,
that's a good one.
I think. Yeah.
Scripture.
Brilliant. I think that's the important part, though. Yeah. Let us go to the source.
Yeah.
What does God say about the thriving of His creation? Mm-hmm. And we need to be biblically convinced of the truth. Mm. And so once you have that, the rest becomes an outworking of that and a wrestling with it and so on. But are we a people who are so convinced that God's ways are right and then actually trust his word for that and submit to his authority? Mm-hmm. Because if we're unclear on that, then we are tossed to and fro on the cultural issues that come what does this mean in a certain context? Mm-hmm. And so we really do need to start with that. The second thing I would say is this is where the Lord does the heart work mm-hmm. in us, because it is an issue of humility. And even for men who may have a role who do have a role as a head of a household, it does start with humility mm-hmm. and submission to God. And so this is not something that just Michelle has to understand submission. So does Chris. Mm. And so those are foundational truths that start the conversation mm-hmm. around what this will now look like in our home.
Yep. And again, like what Chris just said, it must be taken, very, very seriously as well to sit there. It does start with that as a foundation. Again, getting to what God's word says. We have a ton of resources in this church to help our people do that. Like you go, I recommended a book again in the first sermon, just a book on marriage by Ray Ortland, Marriage and the Mystery of the Gospel. Like stuff I've known and you know, for years and years, I read that though, and I was just like, my heart came alive again. One, to the beauty of marriage, the design of marriage, the profound nature of theology, the glory that is the opportunity within a husband and wife and all that God cares about. I mean, Ortland helped me understand that marriage is the wraparound concept for the entire Bible. Like the first cosmos, I mentioned that in the sermon, I'll say it again, whatever, the first cosmos created of Adam and Eve, the second cosmos, new heaven, new earth created again for Christ and his church. It's all about marriage. Do you think God cares about marriage? Yes, he does. And you start to see that. Can you tell I get excited about this a little bit?
Because, I can tell.
Because he's so rich. It's so awesome. And I'm like, man, this is what marriage can look like. And it's a picture of Christ in his church. And then so I'm a husband right now and I have the opportunity to love my wife in this way. It goes from like, hey, let's communicate better. It goes from that to be like, this is the glory of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the depth that goes from this little shallow end of a couple inches to the depth and the riches and the glory of God found in the design of marriage. And just like, yes, please sign me up. Wow, I got to take this seriously. So like, if you can feel like a little bit of what I'm describing in your marriage and you go beyond, but she doesn't, you know, I'm like, come on, bro, get beyond that. Go see Christ, see who he is, the power and just the depth of it all, and your role to be a representation, a symbol again of how God, I mean, just it's astounding to me. So we're just trying to paint a picture of like, man, go deeper than what you are. Stop reading the tabloids and some little self-help book. Get rid of that. Throw it in the garbage, man. Pick up the Bible and start to download again the very reality of what God has entrusted you with and the opportunity that you have. Again, as I talk about it, yeah, this is a big deal. This is really, really important. So come on, I'll just speak to me. Come on, man. Come on, man. Like do what we can do and then start to live that out by God's grace and by God's spirit. I just started preaching. I'm sorry.
There we go. Love it.
That was a sermon. Yes, that was good.
So a minute ago, you said something about communication. And sometimes couples will show up and say, hey, you know, I've got a communication issue. That's the result of, you know, that's the big problem in our marriage. In reality, that's not the main problem. That's a symptom of the problem. The main problem is a heart issue. And if you need to develop communication skills, go and do that. There are ways to do that. Simple. That's fine. But it's not the answer to the problem. The answer to the problem is submission and humility. And when I can approach Michelle and say, I am sorry for, please forgive me for, that's the beginning of the magic starting to unfold in the home. And by magic, I mean the Spirit of God grabbing hold of my heart, grabbing hold of Michelle's heart, bringing us together. If husbands are unwilling, unable, have never said to their wives, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Like, that's a good first step. You said to somebody, like, what counsel would you give to someone who's just starting down this path? Start once. See what happens.
Amen.
With that.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's good. Going back to that first question, I think that's probably one of the biggest lessons I had learned in marriage and still learning too. Like, it's hard for me to justify in the moment saying sorry about something if my heart's not there yet. You know, I pray that God's grace, it gets there, but there's just some moments, I don't know if it's a guy thing or sometimes, but just to submit and be humble in that moment and broken, like, I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have done that. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do, yet it's the best first step to do. And I'm sure, Michelle, you can probably just testify
too. It's not just a guy thing.
Yeah, there you go.
That's true.
Not just a guy thing. And absolutely, just, I mean, even when we think of who Christ is, gentle and lowly, and just to love who he is and want to grow and become more like him, I think is our life's journey. And how do you apply that? We can have that conviction, but how do you apply that to your daily relationship with your spouse?
We're kind of getting into a category I think that's important is we probably all here would openly admit you don't get to a healthy marriage overnight. It's something you have to work hard at, whether it's reminding yourself of theology, starting with some of these practical steps. So let's talk about what does a healthy marriage look like? Maybe for someone in our church who's thinking, okay, I'm longing and aspiring to work towards this, to bring God glory in my marriage. What are some practical advice, counsel that you might give, Robbie, you might give just on this topic? Like, where do I go? And then what am I looking for? Like, what does even a healthy marriage look like? Who wants to go first?
You guys can go.
time together. Something special for Chris and I, and this is just how it's worked out in our marriage, is we enjoy tea after dinner. Nice. And that's where we've had a family dinner maybe, but we go and we sit on the couch and enjoy tea. And when the children were young, that would have been tea after tuck-in. Now, one of the things, and we were talking about this earlier, we do value being together. We enjoy going on dates. We enjoy weekends away. We're not the type to schedule that. We're the type that has a high value for it and allows that to go with the ebbs and flows of life.
Yeah.
We just recognize that there are busier seasons, and that does not, and it's, I do not need to feel that Chris is not valuing our time together. I want to support him when it's a busier season for him and not add pressure to him in that.
That's made it so much easier for sure. So the prioritization of that though is one way that I get to love my wife. So even when things are busy, how do I demonstrate to her, Michelle, that time with her is important? So tea time, as an example, it's a small thing, but it's the small and the daily habits that we put in, because that everything else can be going on and we put it all down. Here's another example. When we had young kids at home and I would come home from work, the kids would run to the door. That's if you have kids, you know that experience. And eventually, as kids get older, they stop running to the door. That's when we got a dog,
I think.
The dog does. Yeah, the dog comes.
But here's the thing. More often than not, when I come home, Michelle will come to the door and greet me at the door. Now, it's not every time. She's busy doing other things, and so she can't always come. I do not need to tell you how great that makes me feel. And I try to do the same thing when she comes to the door. Now, it's not a rule. Just like our dating schedule is not once a week as a rule, neither is coming to the door. I don't even know if it's anything we've ever talked about. It just kind of has happened that way. It's a small way, like tea time, that I get to receive the love of my wife and I get to share my love for her in those small ways. And I think the battle is won in small ways too, the daily activities. Sure, every once in a while you need to have these really kind of big moments and events and time away, and we do those, and that's great, as Michelle mentioned, but life is lived daily, isn't it?
Yeah. Good. 1 Peter 3 says to husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Essentially what Peter is saying there, husbands, you need to study your wives to the point you know exactly what they love, what they don't love, what blesses them, what doesn't bless them. And so, again, we are to study our wives. So for me, it's to know, what does Jill appreciate the most? When does she feel most loved? And it's very often, like, we're different people, right? So one of the ways I love Jill the most, or I've learned over the years to love her the most, is I will empty the dishwasher. Like that is a huge thing for her. Maybe as opposed to coming up and giving her hugs all the time, whatever. That's how maybe I want to be loved, you know? But for Jill, it's a practical steps to care and to recognize, again, some of the weight that she's carrying. And so over the years, trying to be, you know, wiser and wiser to do that. Another thing that we learned in an early kind of marriage kind of course or marriage kind of group we were in the early years that we were married was there are, whether this is exactly right or not, it's helpful for us, 12 types of intimacy, not stages, but types of intimacy. We think of intimacy within marriage and we automatically go to physical, right? Which is very, very important and beautiful and designed by God, all for it, okay? But there's other areas and types of intimacy too. Recreational intimacy. You guys are describing tea time, and that will be some kind of relational intimacy and time together. There is, you know, creative intimacy and all these different forms of, you know, physical in terms of like exercise, or could be planning something together or going on a vacation. So all these different types of intimacy that you see it and develop, and you get to love and appreciate one another in all these simple and sometimes more profound ways. 25th anniversary coming up, us too. Well, let's plan something a little special beyond what we've done for year three. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, and that's gonna involve all different types of intimacy, which again is very, very important. That's very helpful for us because sometimes we're doing something, whether like we're planning out, of course, spiritual intimacy is huge in this as well, that we're doing something and we just recognize, hey, this is the type of intimacy, but we're both very fulfilled by that and we're very excited by it. And the Lord uses that to grow your relationship to depths you did not have in earlier stages.
Yeah, that's helpful. I want to talk about spiritual intimacy and helping foster that within each other in your marriage. How do you guys do that? Do you, when you think about your own quiet time, do you, spend time together, studying something, reading something together? How do you help encourage your spouse to grow spiritually? Chris, like, I love the thing you began with at the very beginning, just said the best thing that Michelle needs is a more godly man in her life, a godly husband. It's not just a better person. And really, that's what it comes down to. So how do you help Michelle grow spiritually? Michelle, how do you help Chris grow spiritually? You know, Robbie, feel free to chime in as well. But what does that look like for you guys?
It's a great question. And so it starts, so we would do our separate God time as a daily kind of habit. And, but then we come together and talk about these things. So the number one thing, if I could do something differently or more earlier on in our marriage, mm-hmm. it would have been to pray together mm-hmm. more frequently. Mm-hmm. Now we did it, but not as frequently as I am now convinced we should. Mm-hmm. And we've grown in that. And so one of the ways that we care for one another is sharing where we are growing spiritually. We love talking. You talk about the things you love. You love the Lord. You will talk about the things of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I love when Michelle shares the insights she's gathering from Scripture. They bless me. Mm-hmm. And conversely, I get to share the things that are going on in my life, in my time with the Lord, yeah. and how He's shaping me. Yeah. And so in that sense, we're pouring into one another and valuing what God's doing. And then we get to pray specifically for one another, for kids, and so on. We can talk about those things another time. But that's a starting point for us as far as building into one another.
Yeah, that's good.
I would also add that not just attending on a weekly basis, but being plugged in to our local church, I think is absolutely essential for a healthy marriage. Because as we are, as God's designed it, a part of the body of Christ, we're individually being spurred on. We're on a path together. And so those conversations about what God's doing in our heart it's natural. We're on this path. We're serving at the church. We're in our various accountability groups, growing in faith. And then when we come together, we can spur one another on in our personal devotion, but it's so natural. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's not an option. Like, we are going to church every week. We are plugging in. That has been the grace of God in our lives. And I mean, absolutely what I would commend to all marriages. It's the best thing for your marriage. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
That's good. Just wondering, pick a group of people in our church, about to get married, in marriage, maybe was married. What would be one, just to kind of close here, some thoughts, what would be one piece of advice or counsel? Maybe it's a, I wish I did more kind of a thought. Maybe it's a theological truth. What would you say to someone on this topic? Just to kind of close.
Wife. I think we find ourselves in many conversations now with younger people seeking to get married. And so they're in a dating relationship, they may be engaged. And so we have a chance to talk through some of these things. Mm-hmm. And so some of what we've talked about today are the outworkings of what a complementarian view is in marriage. Okay. Let us be clear on what the Bible teaches and then live that out. And so we've had a chance to share the things that we've learned through that. Mm-hmm. And then challenging young men and women to be so convinced what the Bible teaches in this area and live out from there. Yeah. And so we can talk about practical things and date nights and you know, the different forms of emotional, physical, sexual intimacy. We can talk about all those things, but it's got to start before then. What does the Scripture teach? Because once we are convinced of that, as we've said before, these are the conditions under which we all thrive. Yeah. And so, that's a regular conversation among many young men and women, and we're delighted for how they are grabbing hold. We're encouraged. Yeah. They're living counterculturally. They are embracing what the Scriptures teach and going for it.
Yep. Yeah, to build off that, casting vision for the beauty of marriage, why it's best to save sex for marriage. It's beautiful in the context of marriage. Mm-hmm. To really give vision for this idea of one flesh. We are better together according to God's design. I mean, while we're on this earth in this role together, but it ultimately points to, and this is circling back to the beginning, to Christ and its bride, and how in the mystery that it is, it points to Christ's love for us and his love for the bride. So really casting vision for what marriage is, mm-hmm. why God's designed it.
Yeah. Anything you're close with?
I'm not going to add to, I think Chris and Michelle are saying it, yes, 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 and yes. That is the ultimate foundation. Practically, and just end with this, again, as I say, and I've done a lot of wedding sermons over the years, mm-hmm. and one of the things I love to say is every time you decide to serve your spouse, you've just decided to make your marriage better. I said this earlier or two. And every time you decide to serve yourself, you've just decided to make your marriage worse.
Yeah.
And that's living out of the theology that we're talking about. So I try to think about this every single day. How many times do I want to serve myself? A lot, you know? But intentionally saying, do I want to choose to make my marriage better right now? I will put Jill first. I will serve her because I love the Lord. And then I love her. And say to young people and sit there and say, when you choose to live out your theology, mm-hmm. then you're just choosing to make your marriage better and you'll be blessed. Mm-hmm. And yes, in some ways, it's that simple. It's not easy, but it is that simple. And so that's one piece of thing I really try to take with me ongoing.
That's great. That's really helpful. Chris, Michelle, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank
you. So nice to have your story, but also just some new faces on this resource. Robbie, thanks for joining us again,
too. Sure.
Such an important topic, but we appreciate you guys opening up and sharing and really praying that this would be a resource that would help people further apply God's word to their lives. That's the point of this beyond the sermon. So thanks for joining us. And until next time, you are loved.